Well, amen for the special music once again tonight. What a blessing it is to have this midweek service to come out to allow the church and the Word of God to encourage and influence us in our thinking and in our lives. And if you don't have that influence of the Word of God in your life, you will not continue to live the Christian life as God would have us to. And so praise the Lord for these midweek services. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 13, we are going to conclude our lesson on the life of Elisha tonight. And he died last week, okay? So we got him buried, amen, last week at on verse 20. And it's been a blessing to study the life of Elijah and then go right into the life of Elisha. That was just a great transition there in our Wednesday night Bible studies. But tonight we are going to conclude our series here on Elisha. And then next Wednesday night we're going to start a new series on Joshua. On Joshua. Looking forward to studying the life of Joshua and all those great examples that we have of his life recorded in the Scriptures. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Just two verses tonight. And these are the last two verses concerning the life of Elisha, as we find in the book of 2 Kings. And verse 20 is what we studied last week. We're going to read that again. And then 21 is what we're actually looking at tonight. We're going to study and preach on the bones of Elisha. The bones of Elisha. And so here in verse 20, the Bible says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, once again, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the privilege of being in church. And I pray, God, that you would continue to meet with us and bless now the preach through the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we find that right after Elisha died and they buried him, that the bands of the Moabites invaded the land. That's exactly how the Bible records the death of Elisha. And we preached last week on the fear over what happens after a great leader dies. And whether that's for a nation, a great leader passes off the scene of a nation, a great leader in a home, the patriarch of a certain family, and what some of the fears that happens once they pass off the scene, even in the church, when a great leader of a church possibly passes off the scene, and what happens to the church. And we've seen some horrendous things take place when those influences of those patriarchs have left. And so we studied and we read that and preached on that last week. And the idea was that we need to prepare ourselves for the loss of anyone in our lives. You have to be prepared for that because it's going to happen. Every Bible character, with the exception of two, that the Bible records, died. And they left somewhat a void, if you will. And in our lives, we continue to lose people in our lives. One of the sad things about getting old is because all your friends and family is getting old as well, and you are going to have to suffer and make your way through the death of a lot of family and close friends. And that's just, praise the Lord for it, though. That means you've lived a long life, and there's the blessings associated with that. But the sad things are that we do. We have to deal with more losses of friends and family. This death is one of the things about life, and the main thing about living is the idea of death. We all are going to face some kind of a physical death at some point. And so we need to prepare. Elijah prepared Elisha, okay, for his death. And that transitioned great because Elijah prepared Elisha, and Elisha was prepared for Elijah's passing. And he was one that did not die a physical death. He was called up into heaven in a whirlwind. And so if we prepare, and then we are prepared, if we prepare those that are under us that are going to be mourning our passing, and if we prepare the loss of those that we have been looking up to, then it will transition smoothly because, and the right way you do that is focus on God. Focus on God and understand heaven's real and prepare for your departure here by serving God and living as God would have to live, and you're prepared to go to be with the Lord. And if you're looking to God, then you're not so dependent on any man. And God can be whatever we have need of. If we lose something in this life, God can be our replacement. He can be a father to the fatherless. Amen. He can be the husband to a widow. And on and on and on. God's able to do that if we are prepared for that. So tonight, so Elisha died immediately. The devil started acting, and the people of the other nations of the world started to attack Israel because the powerful giant of a leader, Elisha, who had proven to have the power of God upon his life, now has gone. And so there was a lack of fear, and there was a lot of things taking place, and other nations now were coming in to destroy the land of Israel. Well, then we have, right after that, it has one last verse, and I love this, because it goes on to say, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. This is these bandits, these bands of Moabites that was coming, and they were going to destroy and probably try to steal everything they had. And they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha and revived and stood up on his feet. So the idea there is a man was being buried. Now, in our society, in America, with totally different mindset of a gravesite. We think of cemeteries, and we think that you dig 6 foot down and you put a casket in that and then you cover it back up. That's not the case in Israel. And of course, and I was very enlightened when we was there back in March. They don't bury in the ground because that ground is all rock for the most part. Where they bury is they carve out holes in the rocks, caves in the rocks. And as they carve these out of the rocks, then they have another rock, or they carve it out to be a rolling stone, and they will roll a stone in front of the openings that they've carved out for a burial site. And so it's all rock over there, and there's so much of that. And so most of the burial sites are not, they don't take up the good ground that they use to produce plants, but they use the burial grounds in the rocks, and they will carve it out. And so this is what was taking place. And it takes a while to carve out a hole in the rocks to be able to be large enough to be a sepulcher, and then to carve out another rock that will fit over the opening of the sepulcher. And so what they were doing, they were in the cemetery, if you will, but it was just a mountain there where they had burial sites, and they actually had the burial site of Elisha, the very same burial site of Elisha, and a man had died, and so they were carving out a place for him. When they seen this band of Moabites coming, they knew that they didn't have time to complete this sepulcher at that time. And so they rolled the stone away from the opening to the sepulcher of Elisha. It's inside of a cave, if you will. So they roll the stone away so they can hurry up and put the man in there, thinking possibly later on they would come back, finish the carving out the burial site for this man, and then they would put him in his own burial site, in his own sepulcher. But because they were running out of time, then they rolled back the stone from Elisha's burial site, and they took the man, and they was putting him into his burial, his sepulcher. And when they laid the body down on just the bones of Elisha, a miracle happened. This man come back to life. Now, again, you see those men are thinking that we got to hurry here because there's a band of thieves coming and we're going to put him in there and hurry up and roll the stone. Now the man they were going to bury comes back to life. And so he's in his grave clothes. You can see them running away from this band of marauders, this two guys and a mummy. Amen. And really, that's what it would take, because he'd have been in grave clothes. And yet we find this is a miracle of God. Is it the bones of Elisha? Who performs miracles? man or God. A miracle is working opposite what God has established in nature, or the natural things that God has established this world to be run by. Only God can change nature. Although Elisha was known because Elisha performed more miracles than any other prophet in the Bible. We read a lot of those miracles that Elisha was able to perform, but it wasn't Elisha who performed these miracles. God performs miracles, not man. So this is a miracle of God. And so if God performed this miracle, then he had purpose for it. 99.9% of the time, God wants to live by the natural. What God has already established for man to live by, nature. But at any time, God can perform a miracle. But man cannot perform miracles. A true miracle, if it is a true miracle, goes opposite nature, and only God works opposite nature. So God performs miracles. And so God performed this miracle, then God's purpose in this last miracle associated with Elisha. That's what we got here. There's nothing mystical about bones. Elisha's bones could not have done anything like bringing somebody back to life. But God, associated with the bones of Elisha, had purpose in this miracle. We know it to be the last miracle because there's no other recordings. There's no other recordings of anyone using these bones. If it was the miracles in the bones, they'd still be using those bones today. Amen. And no doubt those men went back and they might have confiscated the bones of Elisha thinking, wow, we have the fountain of youth right here. We never have to die. We'll just carry one of these bones in our back pocket and we're invincible. Because if I've got the bones of Elisha in my pocket, then I can perform miracles. I'll never die. I'll live and live and live. And they probably died with the bones of Elisha in their pockets because the bones had no miracle working power. Bones don't perform miracles. Men do not perform miracles. If you see a man seemingly performing a miracle, then he's just tricked you. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of magicians today, and there's a lot of things that are taken, and they can really, make you think that they get people to float in midair, and they can cut bodies in half, and they can do all these different things, but it's just that the hand is quicker than the eye. There's something to every miracle that you might think you see, every magical trick you might think happens, if it is not, if it defies natural things, if it defies gravity, it defies what God's established, it's a miracle if it's truly what it is. But if it's man doing it, it's not a miracle. It's a trick. It's a trick. These bones of Elisha, we hear nothing else about anybody else being healed by touching the bones of Elisha. They would have carried those, but that somebody would have been back. That would have been a great treasure. And we would have had more in the scriptures concerning how that bones of Elisha, God continued to work through the bones to accomplish more and more miracles. None of that. So this would have been the last miracle that God performed associated with Elisha. And God had purpose for that. So he's recorded it for us to learn these things. Elisha is dead. Elisha can't do anything else. A dead man is dead. They cannot continue to live if they're dead in this world, in this life. But the God of Elisha, the one who worked through Elisha, is still alive. Can I tell you, that's one of the first things that we look to in this, and that's exactly what God has performed, this miracle working through the bones of Elisha, because he realizes that Elisha's dead. But the God that worked through Elisha when Elisha was alive is still alive and can still work miracles. Amen. So whenever God does work a miracle, to God be the glory,
amen,
not the bones. So when Elisha was alive and Elisha worked a miracle, listen to me, Elisha was not the one that should have been glorified. He should not have been the one that you put your faith and your trust in. He should not have been the one that you say, well, as long as Elisha's around us, then he's a miracle worker. No, that's not true. He was being used by God who performs the miracles. So now that Elisha's dead, Elisha could not perform a miracle, but God still could, but he wanted them to associate it with the one who had been performing the miracles, allowing God to work through them. And so God wanting the people to see, even though Elisha's dead, the God of Elisha and the miracle-working God who performed miracles through Elisha is still alive. Israel, God is not dead. And can I tell you tonight, God is not dead.
Amen.
Yeah. Be thankful for the life of Elisha. He did some powerful things, and God worked mightily through him, such as some people that have been in our lives that have passed on. There's been some great godly men that stood for the faith, that helped fundamentalism, that helped me to understand the worth of this Bible, that influenced my life even though I never talked to them, even though I never was able to sit down with them, but I read some of the things that they wrote. And some have even listened to some of the sermons they preached. And even though they're dead, they're still influencing others by, if you will, what they left behind, their bones. God still worked through them when they were alive, but God can still work through their bones after they're dead and gone. God can still use the words that they preached, amen, to impact those that are still alive. Because the power was not in their preaching. The power was in what they preach, and that's the words of God and how they influenced. So be thankful for the life of Elisha, but glorify God. Do not worship men, whether they're alive, and especially if they're dead. Don't worship them. Worship the God. Worship the God that worked through them, because he's still alive. They're limited. The dead men are, all they have is what they left behind. Just their bones. God can work through what they left behind, their bones, but God is the one that still needs to be glorified. I think we find that in the New Testament in several examples, but the main example would be John the Baptist in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist came, and what an impact he had. And there was thousands coming out, and John was seeing souls saved and baptizing them in the Jordan. I mean, there was all kinds of people coming out to hear the preaching of John the Baptist.
Amen.
But he was just the forerunner. He was presenting the message that Jesus was present. In John chapter 1, when Jesus came on the scene, verse 35, the Bible says, and again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. He's the one I've been preaching about all along. He's the one that has empowered my preaching, that's enabled me to do what I've done. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
Amen.
Can I tell you, that's what every God-fearing man, every servant of God will do, is not to get you to look to them, but to get you to look to their God in whom they're serving.
Amen.
And follow Him. Follow Him. John chapter 3 and verse 30, on over there, John chapter 3 and verse 30, he says this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, as we come to the end of our lives on this earth and we have impacted certain people, whether it's in a church, whether it's been in a family, whether it's been in society, a nation, whatever, can I tell you, we need to help people to realize where we got our strength from. How I was able to do what I was able to do is not by my strength and not by my might, but it was through the power of God. God worked through me, and that's preparing people, once you're gone, to look to who you look to, because he'll still be alive. Your children, you prepare your children to one day leave the home and to look to the God that helped you to develop your family, helped you to find your mate for life, bless you with your children, and you're preparing them, you see, to do the same thing and not necessarily follow you, but follow your lead and looking to the God who blessed you. Because you're going to be off the scene. But God is still alive. He'll still be there for them throughout their lifetime if they learn to look to Him. Yeah. Philippians in chapter 1, I believe the Apostle Paul, another great example, understood this as well, as he wanted the New Testament believers to understand this. And so Paul says, and he writes to the Philippians, and he says in chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I want people to see Jesus in me. And that I'm not magnifying myself, but I'm magnifying Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Listen to me. That's powerful stuff right there. And that's exactly the message that God is getting across to the nation of Israel. And it's recorded it for us today to learn from this Old Testament principles here. Israel needed to understand they were fearful because now that Elisha's gone, we are vulnerable to all the attacks of all the nations round about. What are we going to do? And they were fearful of everything. But God says, "I want you to see something. Elisha's dead. The bones can't help you. But they represent me working through. If I work through him alive, I can still work through his bones because I'm still alive."
Amen.
God working through Elisha, through what Elisha left behind. Bones represented Elisha's testimony. That's the one thing that you'll leave behind. One of the most important things that you'll leave behind is not your inheritance. I love that. You know, when I see it, I see campers going down with a sticker on the back, "We're spending our children's inheritance." Yeah. Because I've seen so many families just tear each other up over finances. Once mom and dad die, they start fighting over who's going to get what. And on and off. It is so sad. So sad. I'd just soon them not get any money. But I do want to live them a testimony. That's the bones. That's the bones. Bones represented Elisha's testimony. Hebrews chapter 11. Look there. I love this. I love this passage. Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 4. Speaking of Abel. Amen. Abel, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. The Bible says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous Now that he's gone, he left behind bones. His bones, that was that his testimony was that he lived a righteous life. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, his gifts, his testimony, he being dead, yet speaketh. Wow. I being dead, by my testimony left behind in the hearts of my children, in the hearts of the church members, anybody that would understand, that would see me and be impacted by my testimony, listen to me, I being dead, yet my bones continue to speak. Amen. What I left behind, my testimony, Amen. My example of Christ. Cain slew his brother, but his brother's, what his gift, what he gave God, his righteousness, yet being dead, he being dead, yet speaketh. Can I tell you that we ought to want to live a life that God will continue to use even after we're dead? That's what it's all about. That's why God wanted to associate this last miracle through Elisha's bones, because he's dead. All that he left behind was bones. But through his bones, God could still use them. God could still work through them. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ left no bones? But he did leave us a principle of bones in his testimony. His testimony. Hebrews chapter 12, you're right there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, everything that he lived, every aspect of his life, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We get to look to him. As Christians, we learn the life of Christ and we get to look at what he left behind for us to follow after. And there's nothing more powerful that we could look to and follow after than the testimony of Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of everything that we have faith in. He also left his word. He left his testimony, but he left something more. His word. The very words that he spoke in the book of Mark in chapter 13. Let me just read this to you. Mark in chapter 13 and verse 31. He says this. You hear this quoted quite often here, but it's a verse that we look to. He says, Jesus taught the disciples. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They're bones. I'm leaving behind, symbolic of my bones, my testimony, and every word that you need to follow me. Amen. And he guaranteed that they will always be here for us. Amen. We have the powerful bones of the word of Jesus Christ, and yet we fail to look to it as we ought to. We fail to be counseled by it as we ought to. We fail to apply it to our lives as we ought to. And it's what God has empowered us by, is his word. Amen. Bring the dead back to life. Can save your soul. Can help you in every area of life. God works through it. He left it for us. He left his church. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're taking advantage of a true New Testament Baptist church, New Testament biblical church. It's Baptist because it's biblical. Amen. And for this 21st century, we apply. As the times get harder and harder, So much the more so as we assemble ourselves together. And we need a midweek service to be influenced by. We're out in the world, and most of our people, and praise the Lord for the ministry. I'm not out in the secular world like most of the members of this church. You're out there, you're hearing all the garbage that the world has to throw at you. You're experiencing all the different temptations and all the different things that are happening. You need, all of us need the influence of God's church. It's a pillar and the ground of truth. And you're here on a Wednesday night because you acknowledge the need for it. Now, I believe we have some that would be here if they could, and there's all kinds of reasons why they cannot, but their heart is here. If they had the opportunity, and that's just forsaking the assembling is saying, I don't want to be there. I'm only going to go when I want to go. God's not going to bless that kind of mentality. But understanding the need that we have in this 21st century in combating the ways of this world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the devil himself, we need as much as we can be influenced by the words of God, and the church is representing of the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as a pastor and as a staff, we try to make things as comfortable and as powerful as they can be. When you come through these doors and you come into a worship service, you need to understand that this is something that is special. This is something that is important to us. And this is something that God has put his hand upon. He said, there's the bones of Christ, and I'm going to work through them, and you can be helped through my church. Yeah. It's the bones. Exact same thing as the bones of Elisha, why God performed the miracle. People need to learn that. In closing, go back with me, because I want you to see this and understand this is what God, why God did this. The last miracle that God worked through Elisha was through his bones, so they would understand that God is still alive. When this got back to the king, remember Joash? And he only shot 3 arrows. He should have shot 6. But the 3 arrows was the last testimony, the last counsel that Elisha gave. And he said, God will deliver Israel for 3 years if you have the faith. Could have been 6. Could have totally destroyed the enemy. But because you only shot 3 into the ground, then I will deliver Syria from you. They didn't see that to start with, because the bands come in, the Moabites and all the people come because Elisha's dead. But when the king hears that there was a man that was dead, and as soon as he touched the bones of Elisha, he was given life, and he's running now back, and they hear and they see this dead man coming into the camp, and the king remembers promises of Elisha that God gave him. Verse 24. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, the very same one, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times that Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. Elisha's dead, but the God of Elisha is still alive. And that gave Israel everything that they needed to defeat the Syrians, get back all of their cities for 3 years. See, he would have been inspired by what the bones of Elisha had been used by God to do. Yeah. We still serve the same God with the same capabilities that Elisha served. And even in this 21st century, We serve the same God and he's still alive. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, a very well-known passage of Scripture, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because he's not dead, he is still alive. Yeah. Learn from the miracle associated with the bones of Elisha. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise the Lord for this great life and what we've learned as we've studied the life of Elisha. But I think the greatest of all was the last lesson that we just learned. Elisha was just a vessel that God was working through. Vessels come and vessels go. But God lives on. People come and people go. Leaders come and leaders leave. But God is still alive. Yeah. God can help you replace anyone and anything that you've lost if you'll look to him. I'm not going to have a musical invitation, but there's an invitation of God speaking to you if you have need to come for whatever reason. Maybe you just need to bow before the Lord right where you're at. Thank him for the life of whoever. But be dependent on the God that works through that individual. Because he's still alive. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of the words of God. And thank you for this life of Elisha and this lesson that we've studied about the bones. And Lord, help us to learn from that. Help us to have that desire to leave this world with a testimony that will continue to be used in other people's lives. Be with us as we leave here. Get us home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.